you, brother.
We're going to be in Joshua 14. Joshua 14, if you would, please. Thank you, Taryn. I like what you made for me. You see, I was talking about money. This is priceless.
That's right, bro.
Right here. This is priceless. I know. I thank you, sweetheart. Is that a map to heaven or to your house? Oh, okay. Amen. Thank you, sweetheart. I will keep that in a special place. Amen. I promise. Amen. You can't buy that. Amen. Joshua chapter 14, please, if you would, stand with me as I read, beginning in verse 6. Verse 6, Joshua 14. So the Bible says, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Excuse me. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Excuse me. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And yet, as yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for this precious book. I pray you'd give me wisdom, Lord, please, tonight now. Help us all to settle in on purpose, to focus our hearts and our minds. Open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears, Lord God, to see and hear wondrous things from this precious book. Give me wisdom, I pray. Fill us, all of us, with your Holy Spirit for understanding, help, and strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Caleb here in Joshua 14, this is the same Caleb that was one of the 12 spies that had gone into the promised land 45 years before this particular text. He was only one of only two spies, remember the story, that came back after 40 days with a positive report. The other 10, the Bible says, he says it right here, that they made the people's heart melt in verse 8. The other 10 that came back and they discouraged the people so badly that they never got what God had already given them. Think about that. It wasn't a matter of them having to go get it or earn it. It's a matter of them just having to go take it. Many times, listen to me tonight, what we have to realize is what God wants from us is not something impossible for us. It's just for us to believe that He's already given it to us, and we just have to go take it. I don't believe God put us here in the city of Denton just to sit back and hope that we can do something. I believe God's already given us what he wants us to have. We just need to go take it. Amen. And but there was 10 spies that came back from the promised land, and they just discouraged everybody so badly that they wasted their lives in the wilderness. They walked around in circles in the dry and barren wilderness and wasted their lives. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, if you remember the story, it It was a picture of salvation. That's what it was all about. And then God led them out of Egypt, though. His plan was to lead them into Canaan, or the Promised Land. The Promised Land was not a picture of heaven. We don't go to heaven right away after we get saved, amen? But the Promised Land was a picture of the Christian life that's lived by faith. A life that's lived by faith. You know, God showed them the land. God showed them that it was full of milk and honey and grapes and many different blessings and vineyards and then things that they had not planted and houses they had not built. And there were many blessings in that land, but there were many obstacles. Right. There were many things that, like great walled cities and big giants, very tall, big, huge men, and they made them look like grasshoppers compared to the giants. And they liked what they saw when they saw the blessings. Remember, they brought back a grape the size of a man's head. That's a big grape. They brought it. They had to carry it between two people on a staff. And there were big blessings in that land that were waiting for them, that God had already given it to them, but it was humanly impossible to go in there and take it. Humanly impossible to go take that land. And but that's where faith comes in.
Yeah.
That's where faith comes in, is obeying God even when you're putting your life in His hands. By the way, that's what salvation is.
Right.
You putting your life in God's hands.
Yeah,
you're putting your life in your future and your eternity in God's hands. And this until you release that, the Bible says that he that finds his life shall lose it. But whosoever loses his life for my sake shall what?
Amen.
Find it.
Amen.
And when you lost your life, when you realized I can't save myself, and you just said, okay, Lord, I don't know, my life is not mine anyway, I'm hopeless without you, and you just took the hands off the steering wheel, and you said, Lord, this is all yours. And at that point, that's where you found life.
Amen.
That's when God saved you. And listen, but that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. When He wants to do something else in life, and to go further in life and to draw closer to Him, listen, it's always going to be a step of faith. And you're just going to have to let go and realize, I can't do this on my own. It's humanly impossible. But that's what faith is all about.
Amen.
Obeying God. The alternative, church, listen, the alternative is just to waste your whole life. That's the alternative. That's what these children of Israel did for 40 years. They wandered around in wilderness. Now, if you look at the map, it's hard to... People don't really know exactly where they went. But quite frankly, they went in circles. They went around this mountain, they went around that mountain, they went back up there, and they came back down to the same mountain, went around that mountain again, and they went and they wasted their life in the wilderness. You understand, that's not why God saved them.
Amen.
That's not why God saved them, to just waste their life in the wilderness, going around in circles, getting nowhere, and getting nothing done. I don't know, but that's not what I want from my life either. That's not what I think God... I know that's not what God wants. But God's will was never the wilderness for those people. God's will is never the wilderness for these people, you and me, today either. Can I say something to you tonight? You will never draw nearer to God when you're out of the will of God.
That's right.
The wilderness, maybe I'll say that again. You will never draw close to God at all when you're out of the will of God.
Yeah.
Because that is never going to do anything but keep you away from God.
Right.
Because God's will for your life is where He's at. Is what He blesses. He doesn't bless when you're out of the will of God. You may get some manna.
Right. Yep.
You know, but you understand something? Listen, the mixed multitude got the manna too.
Yeah, that's right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
The Bible tells us the sun shines on the just and the unjust.
Right.
And that, you know, when it was cold last night, it was cold for saved people and unsaved
that's
people.
Right.
And so that's not... God has a desire to bless His people way far more than the world gets blessed. But the thing is, if we just decide to live our lives in the world because we're afraid to trust God, then we're just going to live a life where we just get taken care of, we just exist, and we die. That's not what God wants. That's not what you should want. God's people ought to have a little more drive than that. A little more motivation than that. Think about it. Caleb knew that God was real. Caleb came back with Joshua, the other one, the two of the 12 spies, and he said, we can do this, guys. God has promised us this land. There's nothing to fear. This is God's promise to you and me. And he didn't doubt for one second did he doubt. But Caleb did not get into the promised land until 40 years later. Because everybody else doubted God. Everybody else feared to go in. You know, I'm telling you tonight, Caleb believed God, but because of the rebellion of all of his brethren, because of the unbelief of his brethren, he had to wander around with them in the wilderness for 40 years, watching them die. Now, you would say, well, that's what's the big... But, I mean, come on, think about what I'm saying tonight. He had to wander around in the wilderness knowing that the promised land was right there, and he knew that God could give them the promised land, and he never once doubted God, but yet he's wandering around in the wilderness because of his brethren's lack of faith. God called it unbelief. God called it evil rebellion is what God called it, because they knew that God had already delivered them out of Egypt. They knew that God had already done all the mighty, remember the 10 plagues and then the Red Sea and all the things that God had done for them to get them out of Egypt. These were the same people who said, no, we can't go into the promised land. No, we can't live for God. No, we can't live by faith. Understand something tonight. The same God that saved us is the same God that will sustain us while we're living by faith. It's the same God that will fight the battles for us if we'll just trust Him. If we'll do what He says. There's so many things, but these people refused. These 10 spies did not believe God. They were afraid to trust God. Therefore, they disobeyed.
Yeah.
They just flat out disobeyed. Listen, it wasn't because they didn't know what to do. It's because they just wouldn't do it.
That's right.
You say, well, they didn't have the faith. You're right, they didn't have the faith. But again, God wasn't so compassionate. God said, that's an evil heart of unbelief. That God called it whoredoms. You know what I mean? They were unfaithful to Him.
Uh-huh.
He just brought them out of Egypt. So he was not happy about that, obviously, and therefore, not only did those 10 spies have to die in the wilderness, but everybody else from the age of 20 and above died in the wilderness. Now, and Caleb had to watch it all. By the time we get to Joshua 14 here, they're already into the promised land 5 years. He says 45 years ago. So for 45 years, he's been waiting for this day. Everybody else is dead. You remember, everybody from 20 years old had died. Moses and Aaron, they trusted God too. Moses and Aaron, his brother, they were already dead. By this time, the only two old timers were Joshua and Caleb. They were the oldest men here. They were twice as old as everybody else.
Amen.
And they came in, and Caleb, listen, this is the only record we have of the two of these men conversing with each other 45 years after what happened when they went into the country, or the land, as spies. Listen, I'm just talking to you tonight, just giving you some introduction here, but it's hard for me to believe that they didn't spend some time together while they were in the wilderness for all of those years. I have to believe that. I can't prove it to you from Scripture. There's no record of it. But I like to think they had to encourage each other. I mean, they had, you know, they had some prayer services together. Amen. Because they were the only two that believed God, other than Moses and Aaron. And there was a whole lot of Moses and Aaron were too distracted. They were too busy trying to appease the people and make up for their lack of faith. But here's Caleb and here's Joshua. And there's not one bad thing ever written about these two men. That's interesting. That's very unusual. But in our text here tonight, I'm getting to something. I'm just laying the groundwork to get us here. But I believe they spent some time together. But here, finally now, Caleb comes to Joshua 45 years after the spy situation. And he says, look, I want this piece of land. I want this mountain. I want this mountain. He's telling him exactly what he wants. He's reminding him in verse 6 what Moses had already said. And listen, although Caleb had been in the wilderness, he had accomplished something miraculous. He had been wholly faithful to the Lord the entire time. That's what I'm trying to get to tonight. Three times in this passage here, he says in verse 8, Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land where thy feet hath trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And then it says again over in verse 14, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God. That's three times right there in just those few verses that we read. There's other places in Deuteronomy and Numbers that say the same thing about Caleb, that he wholly, that means completely, fully followed the Lord his God. That is an amazing statement about a man who had to wander around in the wilderness without any reason. He did not do anything to deserve it. He did not do anything to bring that upon himself or his children, his family. He was completely innocent of all of their unbelief. So I think what God, I really believe tonight, what I'm trying to get across and what God's trying to get across to us is he just keeps repeating that statement in these few verses. I think he's trying to tell us that if the will of God takes us to an unexpected place, amen, we can still be faithful.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
We can still follow the Lord.
Amen.
We can still, and listen, and not only that, no, don't miss this now. Sometimes we look at faithfulness like, oh yeah, I'm being faithful. I'm just putting one foot in front of the other. I'm being faithful. I'm following the Lord. And it's like your lips dragging the ground with you. I'm following the Lord. I'm being faithful. And some days you feel like that. I know. But don't miss the fact that that also includes seeing the blessings of God like we're about to see in Caleb's life on this side of heaven. Okay? On this side of heaven. I'm trying to get you to see tonight that Caleb, it was almost, I believe it was miraculous. How in the world was Caleb able to wholly follow the Lord for so many years when he had done nothing to deserve that wilderness, dry, and barren life? Number one, quickly, because Caleb remembered God's promises. Look in verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me. And he said, go back down to verse 9. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine. Now listen, that was 45 years ago. Now, some of you aren't 45 yet. Some of you wish you were still 45.
Amen.
But 45 years is a long time, no matter how you look at it.
Oh, yeah.
No matter where you're looking at it, from the front or from the back. Amen. It's still a long time. Here's what I'm trying to say, is that he never forgot that promise.
Amen.
Think about that. Now, do you remember what somebody said to you 45 years ago? Maybe if you wrote it down, maybe. But where did you put it? And by now the paper's faded, right? And you forgot which drawer you stuck it in, and it's in the bottom of the drawer. And which house was it when I lost it? You know, 45 years ago.
Right.
But he never forgot that promise that, listen, that God gave him.
Yeah.
Now, what does this mean? What this means is, I believe he probably rehearsed it to himself. I believe he probably went over it, probably very regularly, as he wandered around in that wilderness with the sand all over his shoes, all up under his feet, and his sandals. You know, he's hot, he's dry, he's thirsty. The belly aching on this hand, the belly aching on that hand, the whiners and the complainers everywhere he looks. He's trying to keep his kids from following that crowd. He's trying to keep his kids from going that direction. He's trying to keep his wife encouraged. And he's trying to do, and he said, oh God, I remember that promise you made me. And year after year after year after year after year, after 45 years, he still remembers that promise. And you need to listen to what I'm saying tonight. There's a whole lot of promises in that book that God's given us.
Yeah.
But they ain't happened yet.
Yeah.
It ain't happened yet. I mean, but what I'm saying to you is if you're not in this Bible, if you're not rehearsing these things to yourself, if you're not reading these things to yourself, if you're not meditating on these things, if you don't know what the Bible says about the promises of God, and listen, one of the keys to being faithful is just to remember this is what God says.
Yeah, man, that's right.
And you know, if God says it, it's a promise. I can hang my hat on it. I can take it to the bank. It's not ever going to do anything but happen sooner or later. I just don't know when.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
You understand? We need to rehearse what God says. That's why we memorize verses.
Amen.
We need to meditate on what God says. That's why we should read it and then think about it throughout the day.
Amen.
Think about what that means to me. Think about what a precious promise that is. Think about how wonderfully powerful, how that brought me from depression and discouragement back into a real zeal for God again. That just revived my heart. And it was nothing more than God telling me that I'm His child. Than God telling me that I'm born again. That I have been bought with the blood of Christ, that I belong to Him. One day, face to face, I shall behold Him.
Amen.
Listen, promises are what God, there are, I don't even know how many, there's thousands. I mean, you know, somebody tried to count them, you know. How can you count them? It's all a promise. It's God's word.
That's right. Come on.
Every word is promise. It's a pure,
Amen.
Perfect
Amen.
Word of God. Listen, everything that God says, it either did happen or it will happen. Or it's God's word.
Man, that's right.
I have a mansion in heaven.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, two of you believe that. I have a mansion in heaven.
Oh, I know.
Amen. I'm going to go there. Jesus is coming again to take me to my mansion in heaven. Amen. I'm saved forever. There's nothing nobody can do to take that away. Amen. This book is forever settled in heaven, and nobody's going to change it.
Amen.
Try as they will. The truth can never die. The truth has made me free, and I am free indeed. Hallelujah. You know, the Satan, sin-sick world is not going to win.
That's right.
It's not going to win. It's going to be destroyed by a fervent heat. And all of the wicked men and all the wicked women and all the evil in this world that, listen, not because they didn't get a chance, but because they rejected the Lord Jesus, they're going to be sorry. Very sorry. Sorely, sorely disappointed.
That's right. That's right.
Listen, that's a promise.
That's right.
We win.
That's amen.
That's a promise.
Yeah.
We win, folks. Yeah. Listen, if you don't hang on to those promises,
yeah.
you're not going to stay wondering. This world is a wilderness.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Many times you find yourself just wondering, what am I doing here? And what did I do to deserve this, God? And quite frankly, you may not have done anything.
Right.
But you are still in this world. And there's some reason that God, listen, you have to understand something. You got to remember, I'm not here forever. I'm not a part of this world. I'm just a passing through. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Hallelujah. The angels beckon me to heaven's open door, and I just cannot feel at home in this world anymore. Hallelujah. Listen, that's what I'm talking about. Get those promises of God. Get some good old songs in your heart.
Amen.
Those songs are based on Bible.
Amen.
Bible truth.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
I shall see Him face to face. He is mine. I am His. Hallelujah. I'm on the winning side. Glory to God. Rock of ages cleft for me. The old rugged cross. And what shall wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I remember the day when I see the blood. I will pass over you. And He will pass over me.
Amen.
And I am saved forever in Christ. Christ
Amen.
In me. Listen, those are promises. Listen, they should revive our hearts.
Right. Amen. Amen,
when we start wondering, how long?
Yeah.
I mean, 45 years.
Uh-huh.
Most people don't get saved and live for 45 years. Some do, but some do, and they really have to remember this kind of stuff.
Amen.
But what I'm saying to you, it doesn't matter. The time is not what I'm talking about as much as just the fact that He got through it. And He got the promise, He saw the promise fulfilled on this side of eternity. Because remember when He remembered God's promises.
Amen.
I promise you, listen, he had to write that thing down somewhere. Or you know, ladies, y'all's memories is very much stronger than ours. He probably just kept telling his wife, remember this promise for me. Remember this promise for me. Because ladies don't forget anything, especially when you do something wrong.
Yeah.
They remember that thing 45 years later. But he probably just kept telling his wife, "Sweetheart, remember that promise? Yeah, I remember that promise. Don't worry about that." But I'm telling you, listen, he had to remember this promise. He had, can I say this? He had to hang on to that promise.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Can you imagine those days in that wilderness? When he, again, there was nothing going on. I'm walking in a circle. I'm going back to where I started 20 years ago. Seriously, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not getting anything done. I'm not accomplishing anything. I'm not doing anything but getting older. My years are just ticking by. I don't even know how they could keep track of their birthdays. I don't think you cared after 30 years. Oh, you only got another 15, Caleb. But seriously, I mean, we laugh and think about it. Don't you ever feel that way?
Oh, yeah.
We ain't been in this thing for 45 years yet. But the fact is, if we do, if we are, we can be faithful.
Amen.
We can be faithful.
Yes.
Caleb is our example here. How did he get through this? How did he come to this place? Number two, not only did he just remember the promises, but listen now. I'm going to take a little bit of a different direction here, but stay with me. He respected his God-given authority. Now, stay with me. Look in verse 6 again. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto Joshua. Listen now, he didn't just start acting on his own. He respected Moses. Remember, because it was Moses that said it to him in verse 9. Moses swore on that day, surely the land wherein thy feet have trod. And he held on to that promise. Notice, because he says at the end of verse 6, he says, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto, look, Moses, who? The man of God. Now, Caleb, listen now, don't miss this. Caleb was just as much a man of God as Moses and Joshua were.
Sure.
Now, he was just as much saved as they were. He had proven himself to be faithful beyond imagination. It was Moses that smote the rock.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
It was Aaron that both of them died before they got there.
Uh-huh.
But understand something. Now, when God chose to put someone in Moses' place, he didn't choose Caleb. He chose Joshua.
Yeah.
There was only two old folks there.
Right.
The rest of them were just the kids that had grown up.
Yeah, that's right.
So listen to me. I think we need to hang on this for a minute. I'm going to slow down here a little bit, understand this. Because Caleb respected Moses, and now Caleb respects Joshua, the two men of God that God put over him.
That's right. Amen.
Again, Caleb was just as worthy of leadership as they were.
Amen.
You understand? He was put in charge. Matter of fact, in Judges chapter 1, we're not going to go there, but in Judges chapter 1, after Joshua died, guess who took over?
Right. Yep.
Caleb.
Yeah. That's right.
But understand something. Right now I'm talking about Caleb's character. Caleb's character. Until he was the leader, he respected the God-given leadership put over him.
Amen. Yep.
And this is a lot. This has a lot to do, listen now, with you staying faithful to God.
Amen, that's right. That's right, brother.
You better listen. See, Caleb had a long history of submission to God. And it was showed up in his submission to the man of God. Did y'all hear what I just said? Did I say that again? See, he had been faithful to God for the past 45 years. And it showed up right here in his attitude toward the man of God. You see, you're not going to be submissive to someone you can see. Let me say it this way. You're never going to be submissive to God if you're not too submissive to the leadership God's put over you.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
Because that leadership represents God in your life.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Ladies, that man represents God in your life.
Amen.
Church members, this pastor represents the man of God in your life.
Amen. Absolutely.
And the minute you find yourself crossways with the man of God or the authority that God's put in your life, As long as it's not something, you know, we ought to obey God rather than man. I understand all that. But as long as that leadership is not leading you away from God, but you find yourself getting sideways with Him, or you understand something, that's not coming from the Holy Spirit.
That's right, brother. Come on, preach it.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
That's not coming from the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
That's coming from the flesh. And that's, you know what that is? That's the devil. That's your flesh. That's the sin nature in all of us, pulling us away from authority. Listen, because if we get away out and try to run out from under our authority, we're going to be gone from God.
Yep.
You see, Caleb had been long time submitted to God, but it showed up in his character. He was loyal and respectful to the man that God had put over him. Not because he was, listen, he wasn't some kind of loser who deserved to be treated like some kind of stepchild. You understand what I mean? This was a faithful man of God.
Amen.
This was a man who had to walk with God, who knew God. He knew what God had said, and he was not some kind of slacker. But he realized, I haven't got to that position yet, so I'm going to be faithful and submissive and obedient to the authority that God's placed over me. Listen, because the minute that I stop doing that, I'm going to start losing on those promises.
That's right.
Are you understanding what I'm saying tonight?
Yeah, brother.
Yeah. You see, Caleb had a long history of submission to God. Let me explain something to you. In that wilderness, he had every reason to be discouraged. He had every reason to be bitter and angry.
Yeah,
he did.
Right.
He did not deserve to live in that wilderness for 40 years like that. He had believed God. He didn't doubt God's power. But he had to spend 40 years with this unbelieving, miserable crowd of Israelites. He had every reason to be miserable himself. But listen now, there's no mention of the fact that he was. I don't believe he was at all.
Amen.
What am I saying? He had every reason, but listen, don't miss this, please. Wake up and listen to one thing. Don't miss this. He had every reason to be discouraged, but he knew he had no right to be.
That's right.
Amen.
Do I need to explain that to you? He had no right to be. Why? Because he was submissive to God. And if that's the way God wanted it, then that's the way Caleb wanted it.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, if you'll get that, you'll get help.
Yeah, man.
That's the way God wanted it. That's the way Caleb wanted it. Now, if you look around Caleb, you know the stories. I mean, they complained every day about something. Water, food, water, food. Oh, Moses, Korah, water, food, Aaron. It was constant whining, constant rebellion. It was their own fault that they were in that wilderness.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
But yet they got mad at the man of God. They got mad at God. They took it out on everybody else. They ended up destroying their families. But here's Caleb. This is what God wants. This is what I want. 45 years. He had every reason to be just as griping as they were. Think about that. I think he had more reason because it wasn't his fault.
Right, yeah.
It was their own fault. But he had every reason to say, God, this is not fair. God, this is not right. God, I'm not going to put up with this. I'm gone.
Right.
He had every... But listen now. He knew that he had no right to have that attitude. You see the difference?
Yeah.
He had no right to have that because he knew... I am his,
amen.
And he's mine.
That's right, amen.
I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price.
That's right, amen.
Therefore, I will glorify him in my body and in my spirit, in the wilderness or in the promised land.
Amen.
Amen.
You see, now that, listen now, that attitude of submission was reflected in his attitude towards his human authority.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
And an attitude of rebellion is always going to reflect just like that in the same manner in the opposite direction. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Caleb made it through these years because Caleb was respectful of the God-given authority because he respected God.
Amen.
Because he was submissive to God. When listen, I want you to understand something. Job had every reason to charge God and quit. Job was a perfect man. The Bible says he was upright. He eschewed evil. He got away from evil. And the Bible says, God said that about Job twice. But yet, before you know it, in the same day, he lost everything.
Yeah.
He lost all of his children, all of his money. He lost his home. He lost everything he had, everything he owned, and all of his children in one day.
Yeah.
He had every reason to be quite upset. But the Bible says in all these things, he did not charge God foolishly. He did not blame God. I mean, Caleb could have blamed God. Job could have blamed God. Paul could have blamed God. I mean, dearly beloved, Paul did more for the cause of Christ than, well, anybody, humanly speaking, that I know of, ever will. Ever.
Yeah.
But that man went through more than any human being's ever gone through.
Yeah.
Physically, just abused.
Right.
I mean, just abused everywhere he went. He had every reason to be upset, discouraged, and quit. But he had no right. Because he was serving God. Because that's the way God wanted it.
Amen.
You see the difference? Just because you have a reason to be upset does not give you a right. Caleb said something I believe Caleb knew in his heart. Again, the Bible tells us he wholly followed the Lord. What does that mean? He says, I'm just following God.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Where he leads me, I will follow. That's what that means, church.
Amen.
It doesn't mean you only follow God as long as it's happy times.
Yeah, come on.
Why was Caleb so different? Because, listen, he respected authority because he respected the God that put the authority there. But listen to me, don't miss this. God uses human leadership to prove your heart.
That's right.
Amen. He uses human leadership to prove your heart. Because he wants you to see how you really feel about him. And sometimes you can lie to yourself. Sometimes you can fool yourself. And you can think, well, me and God, you know, we're like this. Me and the big man upstairs, we're like this. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Me and the big guy upstairs, it makes me, man, come on. Stand right there, Buffett. Let me punch you square in the nose. There's no big man upstairs.
That's right.
Amen.
That proves their lack of respect, their irreverence for God. But you know, those kind of people that say that kind of junk, they are the most rebellious people in the world.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Why? Because their rebellion towards God is always going to reflect in their attitude towards human authority.
Right.
And you know, that's why, listen, that's why this false doctrine of a universal church is so popular now.
Yeah.
Because I don't have to submit myself to a pastor. I'm just a part of the church.
Mm-hmm.
I get saved, I'm a part of this invisible universal church. Okay, who's the pastor? Jesus. Oh, come on. Who's the under shepherd? Well, I just go wherever I feel like it. There's no accountability. There's nothing to do with anybody leading or guiding or shepherd or sheep. And it's all a bunch of false doctrine.
Right. Amen.
Why? For this very reason. Because God uses human authority to prove our hearts. And obviously we can see what's going on in our country.
Yes, sir.
Right.
See, when God saves us and we get baptized, he expects us to join, become a member of a church, and put ourselves under an overseer, a shepherd.
That's right.
And it always proves the heart of the membership in their relationship with their pastor.
That's right. Yeah.
And we can see Caleb here, he had no problem. He submitted to Moses, who was not a perfect man. You realize Moses was a murderer. I said, do you realize Moses was a murderer?
Yeah.
And Caleb submitted to him?
Yeah.
And you realize Joshua had no better than Caleb was when it came to the spies and all of that. And Caleb just realized, okay, this is God's will.
Right.
I'm trying to help us tonight because there are going to be, especially you young people, you've got to understand something. God's always going to use human authority to prove your heart.
Uh-huh.
This whole thing about church and membership and serving the Lord as a member under an under shepherd, a pastor, it's God's will, and it's always been right, and it will always work because it proves the sheep from the wolves, it proves the goats from the sheep, it proves the wheat from the tares, it proves the heart that's right with God, and it separates the one that's rebellious. And I'm thankful for it.
Amen.
Yes, I'm glad for it. I've been in those chairs where you are. I haven't always been up here. And quite frankly, it's a lot easier down there.
That's right.
It's a lot easier down there. But listen, God wanted me up here. But you know, I remember those days where I was down there, and I remember when I was right with God, I loved my preacher with all, but there were days where I thought, that ain't real, that ain't true, and you know what it was? This, that's what it was.
That's right.
It was this.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't the man of God, it was me.
That's right.
And you know what it was? It was God opening me up to show me. But Caleb respected God-given authority, and it was obvious in his treatment of Moses and Joshua. Number three, quickly. How did Caleb make it 45 years like that? Number three, not only did he remember God's promises, he respected authority. Number three, he resented the world stealing his heritage. Let me explain this to you. Why did Caleb want Hebron anyway? What was the big deal? Notice what it says there in verse 12. Now therefore give me this mountain. And verse 13, Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. He was not talking about a general area. He was talking about this Mount Hebron. What was the big deal? Well, let me just give you a little bit of history here. Hebron is first mentioned in Genesis where Abraham dwelt there. Abraham and Sarah died there in Hebron, and Abraham bought a field and a cave to bury her there. A few years later, when Abraham died, Isaac and Ishmael buried him, Abraham, in the same cave with their mom, Sarah. That cave was still there on this day.
Yeah.
Joshua 14, that cave was still there. And Caleb, listen, look in verse 12. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there. The Anakims were giants. They were humongous men, but they were Canaanites. They were of the world. They were not godly people. Right. They were humongous people. And Caleb, I believe, knew this is where my father Abraham and my mother Sarah are buried. This is a special place for me. And you know, quite frankly, he said, I just don't want all of those evil giants continuing to trample all over this sacred land.
Yeah.
Amen.
Not only that, but if you know in Genesis 37, if you remember, don't turn there, but Joseph is also a big part of Hebron. In if you remember the story when Jacob sent Joseph out to check on his brothers, and he was supposed to come back and tell them how they were doing. He left to go check on that fateful day, but you remember, he never came back. They threw him in a pit, they sold him into slavery, and he died in Egypt. He never came back home. And you know where home was? You know where he left from that day? Hebron.
Yeah.
So what does all that mean, preacher? I mean, there was some history there. There was some Jewish Israelite heritage in that particular land on that mountain. Abraham, listen, Abraham's the father of Israel, and God used Joseph to save Israel from extinction back in Egypt. And Caleb didn't want these Canaanite giants to keep trampling their graves and trampling their memories. He said, that doesn't belong to you. That's my mountain.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
You understand? We got to keep fighting for the mountain of godliness in our country, church. You know what I'm saying here? There are men who have fought, who have bled, and who have died to give you this freedom that you're enjoying right here tonight.
That's right.
They did not have this freedom over there in across the ocean in England. They did not have the freedom to assemble like this. They had to be controlled by the British Empire. They had to be on board with the English church, the church of the state, and they were not free to do this right here. And they fought, and they gave up everything they had, and they bled, and they died so that we could sit here tonight, and we could glorify God, and sing praises, and pray, and worship, and hear preaching. And listen, I'm tired of them trampling all over those graves and those memories.
Amen.
And Caleb said, I've had enough of this.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Those, I don't care how big those giants are. And by the way, they were very big. You understand? We have very big giants trampling all over our heritage. You and me, what are we going to do, preacher? Well, one thing, listen to me. We've got to live our lives by this book.
Amen. That's right.
Because the minute we start departing from this book, we're joining them. How is it that we got to the place where we're at today, preacher? Because men and women believed this book, and they just gave their lives to do what God wanted them to do. And listen, and why are we going to let it go to the dogs?
Yeah, come on.
We're going to live by this book.
Amen.
We've got to live by this book. You see, Caleb was tired. He was resenting the world stealing his heritage. We've got to raise our children by this book.
Amen.
I mean, we need another generation coming up behind us. Hallelujah. I mean, we need you young guys. You Chris and Max and Samuel and Amen. Ethan and all of you younger people. We need you guys to get a hold of what I'm preaching tonight and understand if you don't take the mantle, nobody's going to.
Right. That's right. That's Amen. Right, brother. Come on.
You gotta live by this book. You gotta keep winning souls. You gotta start more Bible believing churches. I was talking to my wife earlier tonight before church. She was asking me about a preacher and some evangelist was doing some type of meeting somewhere, some youth rally. And she said, "Who is it?" I said, "I don't know. I've never heard of him. There's preachers all over the place." I mean, they're just. I mean, really, there are preachers. I'm talking about independent Baptist preachers all over the place. Not enough, but you understand this. I'm thinking, this is what I told her. I said, you know what? You would think America would be the godliest nation in the world.
Yeah.
There's preachers everywhere. But listen, why don't those preachers, instead of traveling around and preaching church to church and church, and I know there's some use good in that, but it would be a lot more effective if they just go plant somewhere and start an independent Baptist church and raise up a soul-winning group of people and go win that city and start supporting missionaries. That's the Great Commission.
Yes. Amen.
Not to travel around singing and getting love offerings and going to another church and singing and preaching and being a hero. What's wrong with starting an old-fashioned Baptist church? We need churches. You look at the evangelists in the Bible. They didn't do that. They started churches.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It is. I'm telling you, folks, we've got to realize that's what we've... Listen, that mountain belongs to us, but they're taking it away.
Yeah, right.
And Caleb said, "I'm tired of this. We've got to start. We got to listen. We got to pray for God to bless America.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
We got to pray. This last election was a miracle of God.
Amen. Amen. That's right, brother.
If that woman would have got in there, I don't know where we'd be right now. And that's why everybody's so up in arms because our country is gone to the dogs. But you and me understand, this mountain's still ours while we've got it. Amen. While we're still alive, we've still got a chance to do something about it.
Yeah.
Don't." Don't stray from that book. Don't stray from the truth. Teach your children. Let it be real to them. Make it real to you. And listen, don't let anybody move you away from that. That is our heritage.
Amen.
Remove not the ancient landmarks that our fathers have set. They died for it. They died for it. I think Caleb was tired of it. He said, "I want that mountain right there." I believe he went 45 years ago. I believe he went up there and he said, "I can't believe what I'm seeing. This is where Abraham and Sarah are buried. This is where Joshua and Jacob were living. This is where they were living and dwelling in this land. And now look at these giants stomping all over it with no regard for it at all." They're bigger than us, preacher. Yeah, they are. Not bigger than God.
Amen.
They're not bigger than that book.
Amen.
I think Caleb was tired of it.
Amen.
I think he said, "I'm sick of this." And he remembered 45 years ago when he got to that mountain, Karina. He said, "You know what, Joshua? I want that mountain right there." Why? Because I remember those irreverent giants stepping all over my heritage. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying tonight? Yep. Do you get what I'm saying? Listen, I believe Caleb had something in him that we simply do not have enough of, and that's old-fashioned heart.
Amen. Yeah.
Heart. You know what? That cave is still there today.
That's right.
Now listen, but you know what's on top of it? Around it? A Muslim mosque. Yeah. An Islamic mosque, and they have enshrined that cave because they believe Abraham's their father. Well, he is, but not, you understand. Ishmael, that's a whole other story. But you know what's there now? An Islamic mosque. Folks, you see what I'm saying? Is we're losing the battle. Because we're not doing anything.
Right.
We're not doing enough.
Right.
I mean, we've got to get that church over there in Little Elm going. We've got to get souls saved. We've got to get this discipleship program on rolling down the road, so to speak. We've got to draw near to God this year because there's too much work to be done, and the giants are just stomping all over our heritage.
Right. Amen.
And finally, I just believe he recognized an opportunity to draw near to God. See, God called Abraham the friend of God, and I believe Caleb knew that. Joseph is the most vivid type of Jesus, the only begotten son of God. The word Hebron means alliance, which means friendship, which means fellowship, which means connection. You know what an alliance is, right? When I have allies, that means they're on my side. We're together. What am I saying? I'm saying the whole picture boils down to that. See, a mountain is higher than the ground.
That's right.
And I know it's just a picture for you and me, but I think it's a very clear picture. That Caleb said, you know what? I want that mountain right there. I'm going to take back the heritage that God's given us, and I'm not going to keep laying down and let them stomp all over it. And you know what? When I take that mountain back, which he did, by the way,
amen.
Which he did,
amen.
I'm going to draw closer to God.
Amen.
I'm going to get back to my roots.
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to get up there closer to my Lord.
Amen.
And all of it was boiling down to Caleb said, I've been in this wilderness for 45 years. Amen. I'm going to draw closer to God.
Amen.
I'm telling you what, church, that blesses my heart. That blesses my heart. That's what I'm talking about this year.
Yeah.
You should say, I'm going to be faithful. I promise. I know God. I'm going to quit making promises. Just realize that there's a real battle out there, and you got to remember the promises of God. You've got to respect the authority that God puts over you because that's going to prove your heart. And you've got to resent what the world's doing to our heritage.
Right.
And then you realize, listen, but every opportunity I get, I've got to draw near to God.
Amen.
I've got to draw near to God so that I can have the strength. Listen, Caleb was just tired of it. Don't forget this very important fact tonight. No one else was allowed to choose their own portion.
That's true. Yeah.
No one else. What do you mean? I mean, everybody else got a lot given to them. If you've read your Bible,
yeah.
Joshua said, okay, this is yours, Judah. This is yours, Benjamin. This is yours, Reuben. This is yours, Gad. And then, but Caleb said, Joshua, you remember 45 years ago? I want that mountain. And Joshua said, you know what, Caleb? You're right. You deserve that mountain. Listen, Caleb was a special man. And Caleb got what he wanted and got what he deserved. And I believe, listen, with all my heart, God wants us to have that mountain.
Amen.
I believe Denton's a mountain, church.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But you know what? We might want to start with smaller mountains, like our families.
Uh-huh.
How about our own hearts?
Amen.
You know, Satan's trying to take everything away from you that's precious to you every day.
Yes, sir.
Every day your flesh is fighting against you.
That's right.
Against your spirit, against you walking with God every day. And I think Caleb just said, I'm tired of that.
Amen.
I know God's better than that. I know God's bigger than that.
Amen.
And I'm going to do what God says. Because listen, He's promised me He'll take care of me. He'll bless me. He'll feed me. He'll give me the blessings. He'll get me in that promised land. And Caleb got that promised land, and he got the mountain.
Right.
Do you want that mountain?
Amen.
Does Amazing Grace Baptist Church want that mountain?
Amen.
That's where it starts. You understand? Caleb, I think he remembered that mountain.
Yeah.
45 years ago.
Amen.
I imagine it got worse in 45 years, don't you?
Yeah.
But he said, I don't care. Joshua, look, I want that mountain.
Yeah.
And Joshua said, yes, sir. You deserve it.
Amen.
Nobody else got to do that. All the rest of them were just kids when they started. Two of them were faithful. Two. And they were talking to each other in that chapter. I tell you what, there's a lot to learn there. Let's bow up for prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the Bible. I thank you, Father, for this simple message tonight. Lord, I pray that it's clear to your people. Lord, there's so much that this world is taking away from us. And God, they're trampling all over our heritage, the things that you've given us, that you gave us long ago, that are rightfully ours, Lord. Lord God, there's doctrine that's being destroyed. There's churches that are being ripped apart. There's families ripped to shreds. And God, there's laws that are being changed and freedoms that are being taken away. And Lord, I don't know. I know we also have a promise, Lord, one day we're just going to be in heaven with you. But Lord, you're not taking us yet. And Lord, you hadn't taken Caleb yet either. He was still there, Lord, and he was still busy doing what you wanted him to do. So Lord, please help us to stay faithful. Please help us, God, to remember those precious promises. Not to allow rebellion to creep in. Lord, to resent what the world's doing to our heritage, Father, and take every opportunity to draw near to you. I pray tonight in this altar call, this invitation, Lord, that we would simply come before you and bow a humble knee, Father. And Lord, we would ask you, Lord, please give us the mountain, Lord, that you promised.